From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As schools head into the spring semester, it's game on for high school sports in Illinois. Last week, the IHSA released its spring schedule, and spring sports, as well as fall sports like football and basketball, will be able to resume play in the coming weeks and months in regions that are in phase four of the state's reopening guidelines. But as the pandemic continues to take the lives of thousands every day, the decision to resume high school sports is not without risks. The IHSA schedule includes higher risk sports like basketball, football, and wrestling. Those are according to the Illinois Department of Public Health designations. Joining us now to talk about the IHSA's resumption of competition, the safety measures in place, and the risks involved are Craig Anderson, the executive director of the IHSA. That's the Illinois High School Association. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the 21st.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
We also have with us Carolyn Winty. She's an Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame high school basketball coach for Cowden-Herrick Beecher City High Schools, as well as the athletic director at Beecher City Junior and Senior High School, where she's also a high school math teacher. Hello, Carolyn. Welcome to the 21st.
Hello, and thank you for having me with you today as well.
And finally, Jeff Woods is a professor in kinesiology and community health and director of the Center on Health, Aging, and Disability, and also associate dean for research in the College of Applied Health Science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. And listeners, our lines will be open for this conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have questions or concerns about student-athletes, from student-athletes, from parents, from coaches, how do you feel about sports getting back underway? Do you think the benefits outweigh the risks? Or maybe you have a question for one of our guests. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Craig, I want to begin with you. When the IHSA announced the decision to resume spring sports and provided a table that lists risks for each sport, those the sort of the state risk level that the state has assigned for each sport, as well as schedules, whether there's going to be a state series or a tournament in that sport. You were quoted in the press release as saying, "Our board faced an impossible task with a litany of factors." Can you talk a little bit about the board's process and decision making and how the risks were weighed against the benefits of reopening sports this spring?
Sure. So the board had deliberated a significant time, and we looked at a number of models of how we might return. I think the safety piece for our students was really left up to the Illinois Department of Public Health. And we really leaned on them to establish when was a safe time for us to return. And once we got the okay from them that we could return, and, you know, many of the listeners probably know it's based upon regions and phases and some metrics. But based upon those metrics, I think the board was comfortable with the leadership of IDPH permitting us to go forward with sports. And as a result, created a schedule that does allow for all of our sports season to be conducted, some of them quite truncated from what we would traditionally do. But we believe it's in the best interest for us to get our students back engaged in sport, but to do so safely with significant mitigations to make sure they're doing it safely.
Well, let's talk about that then, Craig. What are some of the specifics? There's a table that I mentioned. The IHSA has this table showing the Department of Public Health risk for each sports. We're going to have a copy of that table at our website, 21stshow.org. But, I mean, things are going to be different. Can you talk about what some of those protocols and restrictions are that will be in place?
Yeah, for sure. So a number of them have to do with much of the limitations that we know we go about our daily lives doing. When students are engaged in practice or in competition or are on the sideline, they're going to have to wear face coverings. When they're not in competition, they'll have to be socially distancing from one another. We've put in modifications to gameplay where we're not conducting a jump ball. We're telling our officials in basketball to stay removed, and instead of handing the ball to a student out of bounds, that they, you know, pass the ball to them. So, you know, we're doing things to make modifications to gameplay, reasonable modifications to gameplay, simply to try and minimize the interaction of our officials, as an example. Likewise with the bench and with the game personnel, they would all have to be masked and socially distanced. So depending upon the sport, we've created a number of guidelines developed by physicians and athletic trainers who know about sport competition to help us kind of navigate a return to sport. But again, doing it through some guidance from IDPH and medical doctors to do it safely.
Carolyn Winty, I want to bring you into the conversation. As I mentioned a few moments ago, you're both a high school basketball coach for Cowden-Herrick Beecher City High Schools and an athletic director at Beecher City Junior and Senior High School. I want to come back to the safety discussion, put that on pause for a moment. Can you just talk about what the decision to go on with a sports season means for your student athletes, some of whom lost their entire season last year?
I think it meant a great deal. I mean, as a teacher, coach, you know, and athletic director, and being around these young students, you want to try to stay positive and try to tell them, you know, that just keep hoping that we could get on the floor as far as basketball was concerned. But yet you had to look at reality also, you know, and they just kept getting pushed back and back as far as the dates were concerned, and keep communicating. I think the communication was the biggest thing. With the students coming in, the parents and everything else, and just keep reminding them, you know, the more things that we do to stay safe in this area, the better chance we would have to actually get on the court. And I got to recommend, you know, being from a small school where we're at, our population is very small in the towns that we have doing our co-op. But yet I think everybody did everything that they possibly could to get these students back on the court, because we've been in school since day one. And we have not been shut down. So luckily, and hopefully that stays that way. But like I said, the precautions that we've been taking are just unbelievable. But yet again, we're in the teaching field and the coaching field for one purpose, and that's the kids. And so like I said, when it was announced that they could play ball, they're like, when, where, and what time do we have to be there? They were ready to go.
Sure. Jeff Woods, I want to bring you into the conversation here. As I said, you're a professor of kinesiology and community health at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm curious what you make of the state and the IHSA greenlighting sports and the risks involved.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to hear that IHSA has worked closely with the Illinois Department of Public Health on you know, getting the strategies and mitigation strategies and guidelines such that, you know, we can get some type of normalcy back for these kids that have endured such a long time with this environment, pandemic environment. But you know, there's the risks. You know, anytime you bring people together, despite the best laid plans, there's a risk for spread of the infection. The risk is even higher with kids because a lot of the younger adults have asymptomatic or very mild disease when they are infected. So, you know, treating every kid like they've got the virus is a necessity to limit the spread. And I'm just glad to hear that IHSA has worked with IDPH and trying to get that those protocols worked out.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're discussing high school sports, which are resuming play for this spring. Our guests are Craig Anderson, the executive director of the Illinois High School Association. We also have Carolyn Winty, a high school basketball coach for Cowden-Herrick Beecher City High Schools. And she's also the athletic director at Beecher City Junior and Senior High School. And Jeff Woods, a professor of kinesiology and community health at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. We can take your questions on this topic. How do you feel about high school sports resuming? Is it worth the risk? Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We also asked about this with our Text the 21st group. We asked what people thought of the decision to resume sports and whether they were concerned about the safety. Some of the responses we got include Justin in Rockford, who said, "I think even the remote risk of playing during a pandemic does not justify and outweigh the potential life-threatening risks, not just to the children playing, but to others they might carry the virus to. There are 1 to 2 months left before we begin to vaccinate enough people to achieve herd immunity. We've already sacrificed 10 months. Why undo everything we've sacrificed for because we feel the need to play sports now?" That was Justin in Rockford. Katie in Monmouth, Illinois, also thought it was a terrible idea. She said, quote, "We're in a pandemic. Hundreds of thousands of people are dead, yet folks can't seem to understand that means sports are a bad idea right now. People need to stop trying to make things normal. It's not normal." And then Randy in rural Peoria said, "I think kids are naturally taking risks. To narrow the general group is a benefit when they care about the group. It's a risk worth taking, and mentoring can also be done when kids are motivated." Craig, I'm curious if you have a response, different sides of the spectrum there, if you're hearing from parents as well about, you know, some who are enthusiastic about getting the kids out there and others who are maybe worried about it.
Yeah, we've definitely heard both sides, probably more that were wanting us to move forward with sports when we weren't. That was the probably loudest voice that we heard. But I definitely think, again, with the safety guidelines that we've put in place, and, you know, decisions about students playing are parental decisions. And even though the opportunity is available for people to play, there's no requirement that our students engage in that competition. So, you know, recognizing that, you know, whether a student is at risk or the student is at home with someone who is at risk, you know, those decisions can be made locally and within families if the students wouldn't engage. But, you know, the mental health piece is the thing that really opened our eyes very recently with some really terrible things happening to students who had been isolated and disengaged from their coaches, from their teammates, classmates. And as a result, I feel that we're in a good position, again, referencing the safety guidelines that we have in place to permit students to go forward, get engaged with their teammates, and now be, you know, get the benefits of participation, which are invaluable.
Carolyn, I'd like to ask your perspective on this, on that Department of Public Health, IHSA table. Basketball is listed as a high-risk sport. As a basketball coach, I wonder, how do you and your players feel about the risks versus the benefits of playing a close contact sport while we're still in this pandemic?
We played our first game last night under these guidelines. And, you know, as a coach, I guess my biggest thing is a safety. And that's what we stressed. And like I said, my kids, they know, and we worked hard in practice, you know, with the mask. And I'm not saying that it's easy, and that's what I told them. But like I said, we just got to keep in the back of our mind, it's for the kids. I mean, is it risky? Yes, it is. But as an adult and being a leader, you know, there's a lot of things in life that we don't like to do, and we just keep stressing. And I commended my kids last night that they stayed socially distanced. They done what they had to. We talked about if they got too hot and need to pull their mask off, go over to the corner and get the job done. But other than that, try to keep that mask on because, again, we are intermingling with some other schools. But, you know, to me, I thought we'd done a great job. And I think, again, if it comes from our administration, which leads it down to the coaches and to the fans and everything else, and we, again, communicate, because I was afraid last night when they saw that the officials did not have masks on while they were officiating. I figured maybe that would be questioned. But we had been up front with the students, and nobody questioned anything. Nobody questioned the mask. Our parents kept them on. And you know what? I honestly felt just as safe in that gym last night as what I have going to other places where I see that people do not follow the guidelines and don't wear the mask. I think we had a definite success last night with the team. And you could, the attitude of the players, you just can't imagine what it was that they actually got to play.
Yeah, first time in a year, right? Probably, or give or take a year. Okay, let's. We need to take a break here. I'm going to let me give the number out one more time. We're going to continue this conversation after the break. If you're just joining us, we're talking about high school sports and the decision to resume play in the coming weeks. As we've heard, the basketball season is already underway in some places. We're talking with Craig Anderson, executive director of the Illinois High School Association, Carolyn Winty, a high school basketball coach for Cowden-Herrick Beecher City High Schools, and kinesiology and community health professor Jeff Woods from the University of Illinois. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. We do want to take your calls, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455 if you have questions or comments about the decision to resume play. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about high school sports getting back underway in Illinois. We're speaking about that with Craig Anderson, executive director of the Illinois High School Association, Carolyn Winty, who's an Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame high school basketball coach for Cowden-Herrick Beecher City High Schools. She's also the athletic director at Beecher City Junior Senior High School and a high school math teacher. And we're speaking with Jeff Woods, a professor in kinesiology and community health, director of the Center on Health, Aging, and Disability, and associate dean for research in the College of Applied Health Science at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And I want to read another text now from our listeners. Amy in Ottawa says, even if it seems as though high school students who get COVID-19 have milder cases, I'm concerned about long-term health effects on our young people. We don't know enough yet. Listeners, if you have a question or a comment like that, 800-222-9455 is the number to call, 800-222-9455. Jeff, I want to ask about that because there have been a few instances. I don't want to overstate this. It's been a relatively small number, but young athletes in professional and collegiate ranks who have had some long-term health effects after contracting COVID-19, including myocarditis, that's inflammation of the heart. Can you talk about that? And for parents and players who might be concerned about the risks, what would you tell them?
Yeah, sure. So myocarditis is a result of the viral infection of the heart that causes inflammation that can affect the heart's ability to pump. There were some early reports that people who exercise were at higher risk for this complication, but more recent studies appear to have refuted that. So it doesn't matter whether you're an athlete or you're sedentary, it seems like there's the same risk for myocarditis after you've been infected with COVID. Typically, the symptoms of myocarditis show up about 2 to 4 weeks after the initial infections, with maybe an incidence rate or early estimates. Again, there needs to be more data on this, or maybe that, you know, between 5 and 15% of the people might have some type of heart involvement post-COVID, and even fewer percentage of that would be severe. So, I think the main take-home message here is that there is risk and that athletes and coaches and parents need to be very careful in evaluating that risk, but also looking for symptoms all the time. Given the fact that we're talking about athletes and students who are competing, because the heart's involved here, it might be to their advantage to detect early problems with the heart because they're using it for their sport. Being aware of symptoms, fatigue, you know, shortness of breath, things like that are signs and symptoms of potential cardiac problems.
And Jeff, I also want to ask about professional sports. College sports have resumed play, although a lot of those programs have a lot more resources. Obviously, the NBA had an entire bubble at Disney World last year. But even leagues that did not go that far at that time, you know, they have testing, contact tracing, then a lot of Illinois high school programs are going to have access to. But are there things that we've learned from the resumption of professional and collegiate play, or maybe high school sports in other states, that would be helpful to know as Illinois student athletes are getting back on the field?
Well, I think, you know, to your point, I think the lesson maybe we've learned from pro sports is that despite the extensive planning and the financial incentives to restart pro sports leagues, there's still considerable risk for the spread of COVID. You know, we've got these new strains too that that are even more apt to spread. So, you know, pro teams are still having to cancel games and alter their schedules, as we've all seen. So yeah, it's a risk, and when you start to filter that down to high school sports, you know, also a risk. It seems that the younger people are the ones that are responsible for the majority of the spread of the virus. A report just came out today that appears that that 20 to 29 year age group is particularly involved in spread of COVID. The younger groups, you know, we're talking about 10 to 20 or so, is a little bit less than that. But again, they've, you know, their lifestyles have changed dramatically under the control of their parents and schools. So if we start to relax that, then there's the risk of increasing the contribution of spread from that age group as well. My biggest worry about kids returning to sports is them bringing COVID into the house where susceptible older people live, like their parents or their grandparents. And, you know, I think that's the risk. They're not under the watchful eye of a coach, the school, when they get home. So that those are conversations that need to be had with parents about the best course for that kid to reengage in sports.
Craig Anderson, I want to ask you about compliance and enforcement. Can you talk about what the IHSA has in place, if anything, in case certain high school teams or programs are not complying with the safety restrictions? I think we heard Carolyn mention earlier that the officials at the game she coached last night were not wearing masks.
Yeah, so our association is over 800 member schools. Obviously, not all of them are playing at this time because certain regions aren't playing. But as a result of that, you know, we count on our local administrators, like Carolyn is, to help us enforce the rules that we are putting out to our schools. So we count on our superintendents, our principals, our athletic directors to adhere to the guidance. And frankly, I think, and I shared this with IDPH early on, you know, our schools led by our administration and then our coaches are going to conduct things safely. We heard from Carolyn mention, you know, how her students adhered to the guidance. They kept their mask on. And I think in reflection of what was maybe happening in non-school basketball activities before we were able to begin as teams were traveling out of state, I think we've created a much safer atmosphere of participation where we are requiring masks, we're minimizing spectators. And so the opportunity, just real quickly related to the officials, is that we currently have our officials' guidance to be masked all the time except when they're exercising. And that is really simply to make use of a whistle. On top of the fact that, you know, mask and using a whistle are cumbersome and not all of officials have the electronic whistle. So we're navigating that piece with IDPH and trying to determine what is in the best interest for our officials to resume their activities and then we'll resume accordingly. But they didn't exceed the guidance that we offered them by officiating without their mask. As long as they had a mask available to when they got within a distance and speaking with a coach or at halftime or at a timeout, then we ask them to have a mask on.
Okay. Carolyn, I wonder, final question to you, if you can talk about what responsibility you feel. Do you feel a weight of responsibility as the athletic director, as a coach, in ensuring that there is compliance with these rules and just keeping people safe?
I think there's a big responsibility put on the administration for that. But with that, I mean, you know, even with school, we have a lot of different responsibilities as a teacher. And it's not that it can't be done. It can be. And again, we as the adults just have to make sure that we're the role models and the leaders that show the kids between right and wrong. And I do want to make a comment about the officials. Our officials was great last night. You know, and we knew what the guidelines were, that they did not have to have them. And when they was distributing the basketball and stuff, even like that, they stayed away from the kids. And then when it did come to close quarters, they put the mask on. So I didn't want to lead that towards a negativity, you know, part of it. Sure. I just was amazed at how everybody worked together and communicated and did follow the guidelines and worked with the kids and, you know, even the fans and everything else. It was a great atmosphere for what we're going through with this COVID that we're seeing day in and day out. And, but the responsibility, it's the responsibility of all, whether it's a parent, whether it's a kid, whether it is the AD or the coach or even the administrators. And then again, people just got to be willing to change because we are with the changing times.
And we're going to have to leave the conversation there. I want to thank our guests. They have been Carolyn Winty, who's a high school basketball coach for Cowden-Herrick Beecher City High Schools, as well as athletic director at Beecher City Junior and Senior High School. Craig Anderson is the executive director of the Illinois High School Association. And Jeff Woods is a professor in kinesiology and community health at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st. Stay safe.
Thank you.